Good evening. My name is Andrew Austin, and I know many of you do not know me, and I've never preached to you before, but that's because it wasn't until just last, it was actually Christmas Eve, that God was working on my heart, convicting me that I needed to be seeking for opportunities to be preaching, since he has called me to full-time ministry, and that full-time ministry will involve preaching. And so it's just been a process of God working on my heart. And so God led me to preach to you today, and we're going to be looking at Romans 15, verses 13 through 15. So Romans 15, 13 through 15 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God." And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Well, Lord, I do thank you for this day, and I do thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word, to look into it. And Lord, I do pray that you would be working through this service. Lord, I pray that you would give me clarity of thought, clarity of words. And Lord, I do pray that this message would be a blessing to those at Green Acres. Lord, I do pray that you would be with them, that you'd comfort them, strengthen them, and Lord, uplift them today. And Lord, I do pray that you would just be working in our hearts, guiding, directing us, leading us closer to you. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us here this afternoon. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, a little background of the book of Romans. Paul, the great evangelist missionary, Paul, is on his third missionary journey. And in some ways, he is coming back and planning to go back to Jerusalem. But he's wanted to go to Rome to fellowship, to preach, and to speak with the fellow believers in Rome. But he has not had the opportunity to be able to do that as of yet. So he writes this letter that's 16 chapters long, so it's a very long letter to the Romans, encouraging them, speaking to them, and sharing with them some of the things that he would like to share with them in person. And he's sharing these things with them because he also hopes to one day be able to meet them, to speak with them, to preach to them, to fellowship with them. And we see that message throughout the entire book of Romans, that Paul wants to be with the Romans to share with them and to speak with them. And the message of the book of Romans, at least of this chapter, is that Paul wants the Romans to be filled with the joy and peace of knowing God. And let me read verse 13 again. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So, God wants to fill us with hope and with joy and peace. But we can only be filled with that joy and peace if we are believing. But what are we supposed to be believing in? To have the joy and peace of God, we must be believing in who God is, what he has done, and what he is going to be doing. And it's believing his promises and the truths of him. Some of the promises that we have of God is that God is our Redeemer. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins, paying the penalty for us all. And he rose again, proving that he had victory over sin, death, and hell. So it shows that we can find redemption, salvation, forgiveness in his blood. But not just that, we can also have a home prepared for us in heaven, which he is preparing. John 14, verse 1 through 6 are talking about how that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. And he is coming again to receive us and to bring us to heaven. Another promise that we have of him is that he is always with us. We'll turn to just Matthew 28. Real quick, we'll turn here. And verse 20 says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Jesus was promising his disciples here that he would be with them always, forever. He would always be with them. So we have that promise of God. We also have the promise that he never changes. Hebrews 13, 8 says, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever." And it's because Jesus never changes that we can trust in him. If he was constantly changing his mind, deciding that he was going to do things a little bit differently today rather than tomorrow or the day after, we wouldn't be able to know what he's planning. We wouldn't be able to know how to respond, what to believe in. And so it's very important that Jesus never changes, that he is the same forever, that his identity is unchanging. We also have the promise that he will take care of us. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So God is going to supply our needs, take care of us. The Bible talks about God sees when the sparrow falls to the ground, and he cares about that sparrow. And are we not greater than the sparrow? So God cares and loves for his children. So that leads into the next point. He loves us and always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And it was that great love that God had for us that caused him to send his Son to die for us, that we might be with him. And it's not that just Jesus didn't just die for us. He lives for us. The Bible talks about how Jesus is constantly making intercession for us. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God loves us, and we know that he always will, because the Bible says that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, whether it's principalities, powers, the past, things to come, the present. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we also have the promise of him that he will enable us. We're going to Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So it's God that works in us that will enable us to accomplish his will, because his will is completely impossible for us to accomplish without his enablement. So we have these promises that God is our Redeemer, that he has prepared a home for us, that he's always with us, he never changes, he takes care of us, he loves us and always will, and he will enable us. And there is so many more that we could look into. But these are some of the core promises that God wants us to be believing. And if we will believe these promises, then we will have the joy and peace that comes from knowing God. Because we don't need to worry about whether maybe our neighbors, our friends, or maybe some other people love us. If we know that God loves us, we can take comfort in His love. We don't have to rely on others. We can rely on God. And right now during these times, it is very easy to get discouraged. With the shutdown and all, there are many things that we can't do. I know for you all, it's very hard for you to visit with family, to get out and about, to have even a little bit of freedom in of yourself. And that's been going on for months and months now. So it's easy to be discouraged. And even I myself, though I'm not necessarily as confined as you are, there are things that I can't do, or that I haven't been able to do, at least at times. There was times when we didn't go out sewing for just a couple weeks. We didn't go out sewing because we were not sure how people would respond. Just several weeks ago, there was a period of time when I wasn't able to have Bible studies with a young man that I've been discipling. And that was discouraging, but it was all because of the coronavirus. And it's easy to get discouraged when we look at the physical things that are going on around us. But we need to remember God's promises, because when we remember that He is in control, that He loves us, that He's going to take care of us, that gives us the joy and peace to continue to serve Him. All right. And it is the joy and peace that come from God that gives us hope. I'd like to read in Romans 15, verse 13 again. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." So God wants us to abound in hope, to excel, to have much of hope. And I looked up the word hope, and according to Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, it says, "To desire with expectation of attainment, to expect with confidence." So hope is not something that, it's not just a desire or something you want to do sometime in the future. It's something that you believe is going to happen, that you expect to happen. So it's, just read it again, it's expectation of attainment. You expect to receive what you are hoping for. So, how does this tie in with joy and peace? Well, joy, we can have joy in what God has done and what He is doing. I'm sure many of you are grandparents or great-grandparents. And there's a joy that comes with the knowledge that maybe one of your children, one of your grandchildren are having a child. And there's a joy that comes with that. And that is the same thing with what God has done for us. Whether it be He has helped us through a difficult time, or maybe He has provided a specific need that we had, or maybe it's the fact that He has saved us. But we can have joy in what He has done and what He is doing. And we can have peace because we know that God is in control. We know that God ultimately rules and reigns, that no matter what happens in this earth, God will be victorious one day, and He will rule and reign forever. So we can have that peace. And we can have hope which is expectation of attainment in what God has promised to be and to do. So joy, in a sense, is looking at the past and present. Peace is looking at the truths of God and his faithfulness to us. And hope is looking forward to what God is going to do because of what he has done, who he is, the fact that he is in control. And that is how we can have hope. And now let's read Romans 15, 13 and 14, just once more. It says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another." So Paul is telling the Romans here that they are able to admonish one another. And I looked up the word admonish, and again in Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary, it says, to give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement. Sometimes admonish is definitely used in the sense of correcting somebody, but it's always with the idea of love. It's out of love that you're trying to correct somebody. But we also have this other definition, which is to give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement. So it's not always negative. And I'm going to quick turn to 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, but by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And I looked up the word comfort, and it says, Merriam-Webster's again, it means to give strength and hope so that expectation of obtainment. So we see that, reading verse, last section of verse 4 again, it says that, "Who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So, God comforts us, he encourages us, he strengthens us, he gives us hope, so that we can do the same for others with the hope, the strength, the comfort that he has given us. So, we have God's joy, peace, hope, and comfort. And God wants us to encourage others. As we just read in Romans, that Paul knew that the Romans were able to admonish one another. They had that ability. They could do it. Doesn't necessarily mean that they were, though. And that is often a sad case, that we're not admonishing one another. That's one of my struggles with in my own life. It's hard for me to encourage somebody else, to maybe give kind words, encouraging words to them. Just because of my own sinful flesh and my selfishness, I often look at the negative side of things. Or if I do see something I like, or I think that somebody else has done well, it's still hard for me to get those words out at times. But it's something we all need to work on, and we're not perfect at, but we are able to do it. And I'd like to encourage you. You all are able to admonish one another, to give friendly, earnest advice or encouragement to one another. And just as Paul was not physically able to be with the Romans, we at Liberty Baptist Church aren't physically able to be with you. It's not that we don't want to be with you. Paul wanted to be with the Romans. And if we read the rest of Romans 15, we see that he is planning on going to Rome after he returned to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to Rome. But and we know that actually did happen. It wasn't necessarily the plan that he had. He was hoping that he'd be free, but instead he was imprisoned and taken to Rome as a prisoner. But he still made it to Rome, and he was able to encourage and fellowship with the believers. And we want to be with you, but we really can't right now. And since this is the case, you at Green Acres are the only ones that can really reach out to the other residents. God has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that includes me in reaching Greenville and reaching the communities around us. But it also includes you all. God has a specific purpose for you. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here if God didn't have a purpose for each one of us. And I'd like to cause you to think about the other residents at Green Acres. They can't hear the gospel, or they can't be encouraged by Liberty Baptist Church unless they come to the services. But we at Liberty Baptist Church can't invite them to even come to the services. And we certainly can't be with them throughout the week, encouraging them, strengthening them, giving them comfort. The only ones that can really do that are you. So I'd like to challenge you with that thought. Are you being the encouragement that you need to be to the fellow residents? Whether it's just giving them a word of encouragement, pointing them to maybe a verse, a promise of God, or maybe it's inviting them to come to a service. And maybe it's sharing the gospel with them. Because nobody else really can right now. You are the only hope, pretty much, of Green Acres. And it's your harvest field. We have our harvest fields. God has told us to go into all the world. And right now, you can't really go into all the world, but you can go to your neighbors, to those that are around you. So, it's just some thoughts that God placed upon my heart. Each one of us have a purpose. Each one of us have a plan. And God wants to give us joy, peace, and hope during these hard times, during these discouraging times. But he doesn't want us to just keep the joy, peace, and hope to ourselves. He wants us to be sharing it with one another. Well, Lord, I do thank you for this day. I do thank you for this time that we were able to spend around your word. Lord, I thank you that you are the God of hope. Lord, that you are the one that gives us joy and peace through believing in you, in your attributes, in your truth, in your promises. And Lord, you are the God of all comfort. And Lord, we need so much comfort from you, so much peace that we cannot get from anybody else. Lord, I pray that we would not be just receiving your joy, comfort, hope, peace, and thinking of what blessings we have and ending there. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to be an encouragement to those that we are around, to be inviting them to come to services. Lord, whether it's, it's me too. Lord, I need to be out encouraging people. I need to be out witnessing to people. And Lord, I do pray that you would be working in my heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd be working in the hearts of those at Green Acres. Pray that you'd be with them, strengthen them. Lord, I pray that you would give them your encouragement throughout this week. Lord, I do thank you for what you have done and for what you will do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.